Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn L'Ili Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, Jake's father, Eliyahu ben Abba's yurtzeit is tonight and tomorrow, so especially apropos, neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are beginning a new Mishnah, same person. We are talking still with Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, the famed Rabbi Akiva, last week, and we're going to briefly review the main concept because it's going to be important for the transition to this Mishnah. What did we talk about last week? Siyag, right? The concept of fences, building gates and fences around our behavior in order to improve it, as well as various other things. So now he's going to jump into a new topic. This is a fascinating topic. It's one that we're going to spend at least 2 weeks on. And let's just delve in. Hu haya Omer. So source number one. He used to say, or he said, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzalem. Beloved is man that he was created in or with Tzelem. So two things we're going to have to understand as we go forward is, who is Adam? Does Adam include all of creations or just Jews? Number two is, what is Tzelem? What is the Tzelem that we were created with? So that's part one of his statement. Then he has part two of his statement. Chiba Yisera Nodaslo Shenivra B'Tzelem. So there's an added benefit, an added love that is demonstrated from the fact, not that the person, man, was created B'Tzelem, but that he was told that he was created B'Tzelem. I mean, it could have been that we were created B'Tzelem and not told. The fact that we were told adds an element of belovedness to the fact that we have Tzelem. And then he quotes a pasuk, Shene'emar, B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Ha'adam. Within the image of God, notice how the first time we said Tzelem, it didn't specify Tzelem Elokim. Here the pasuk says, as the proof text is B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Ha'adam, we were told, this is not in the creation of man, this is actually in Parshas Noach, we are told a number of times in the Psukim that we were created B'Tzelem Elokim, but here Noach is explicitly told B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Ha'adam. That's part two. Part three, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Banim L'Makom, that beloved are the Jewish people. So in contrast to just Adam, here now we have Yisrael. And what's their belovedness? That they are called Banim L'Makom, children to God. And then it continues, similar structure, Chiba Yisera Noda'as Lahem Shenikru Banim L'Makom. And not only is it the fact that we're called children to God, but that we are told that we're called children of God, and that adds a belovedness. Shene'emar, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, we are children of Hashem. Chaviv in Yisrael, now another section. Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitan Lem Kli Chemda. Beloved are the Jewish people, again, not just because we're Banim L'Makom, but also because we are given a Kli Chemda. What's a Kli Chemda? It's reference to the Torah. That's a beloved, desirous tool, the Torah. Chiba Yisera Nodaslam Shenitam Kli Chemda, and the added, same structure, added belovedness from the fact that we're aware of this, Kli Chemda Shabo Nivra Olam, and this Kli Chemda is what was created the world. So the Torah is a general idea in Chazal that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Shenemar Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem Torasi Al Tazovu. Hashem tells us that He gives us this Lekach Tov. He's referring to the Torah. So again, same structure. We have a number of things. Number one is that people are beloved because they are created B'Tzelem Elokim. Add to that that we know that. Number two, that Chaviv in Yisrael, that we're Banim. Add to that that we know that. And Chaviv in Yisrael, that we have the Torah. Add to that that we know that fact. All of it to come to tell us that we're beloved. So, besides for the questions that we asked, what does Tzelem mean? What does Adam mean? What's the message of the Mishnah? So usually, maybe this is the wrong assumption, but it's the assumption we've been making, is that Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos are coming to teach us something in terms of our behavior. Some advice, some motivation, if you will, to do something. There's no doing here. It's just factual. So what's the message that if we want to take away and now improve, let's say, what's the improvement that I should be doing because I know this idea? So maybe we're wrong. Maybe not all Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos need to be self-improvement. And this is just a nice idea, end of story. But we're going to assume, and the commentators are going to assume, and they're going to look for, what is the message? What do you want me to take away from this to then improve my behavior? So let's go to part one. You have an answer? So the fact that we're beloved makes us supposed to act in a certain way. Okay, so we'll see something along those lines in some commentators. We'll see some other ideas as well. But before we even get to there, let's go to connections. So first, part one here is connections to the previous Mishnah. So Rabbi Akiva said the previous Mishnah about Siag, and the previous, and now this Mishnah about belovedness. And some commentators, who we're going to see in a second, are going to connect these two Mishnahs to tell us what the message here is supposed to be. So first, four note source number one. A little bit difficult to read, but we'll make it towards the end of the line where it says Yudchet in parentheses. So Amar, Hinei roi l'adam lasim libo el divrei zihiros vizrizos sh'amarti l'chvod kono v'yoso chaviv l'fanav sh'nivra b'tzelem. So all of these things, he's saying, Rabbi Akiva is telling us, all of these things that I told you in the previous Mishnah, to be careful about this and to be careful about that, and to make sure that you put the gedarim and the fences and all the things to protect yourself. What's the reason why you should protect yourself and be careful in all the things that you do? Because you're created B'Tselem. It's actually similar to what you're saying, is that the fact that we're created B'Tselem is supposed to inspire us to make sure that we're careful and not sin, not do things that are inappropriate, that are pasnish for our stature as being B'Tselem, and then continuing as being this Chiba Yisera, that we're Banim L'Makom, as well as the fact that we have the Kli Chemda. All of these things are supposed to inspire us to keep all of the Siyagim, all of the fences that I talked about last Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva is telling us it's because you are created B'Tselem. In source number two, you have a similar idea from the Maharal and Derech Chaim. So Huaya Omer, we'll just read it briefly. Chaveh Ba'adam, Nira Kima Marzeh Kover B'Yakiva Bekan, Mipnesha Amar Lifneze Nidarim Siag Lepricious, or he's just spelling out in more detail. In the previous Mishnah, we said that taking vows are going to help protect us and keep us away from violating and doing things that are inappropriate. Alzeh Amar Ki Raya Adam Shiasa Siag V'Geder Elav, we should be make these fences. Kimo Mi Shiyesh Lo Kerem Chaveh. So if you have a nice vineyard, so depending on how beloved you like this vineyard, like how good is the wine or how good is the grapes going to be, so then you buy a level of security, right? Are you going to buy the $24.99 a month security? Are you going to buy the $49.99 a month security? The one that has the cameras, the one that goes off right away, that goes to the central what? Right, that goes to, connects you to the FBI. Like, how much security are you going to get for this vineyard depends on how much you like this vineyard. So the fence that you're going to put around the vineyard depends on how much you love it. Shim yeshlo sadesh al yerek, you're growing cucumbers, nobody cares about cucumbers. Eino ose siag v'geder elav, ulami ose geder dafko l'kerem shu chaviv lo, valzeh amar chaviv ha'adam. You're only going to make a fence, the stronger fence is going to be for the thing that you that's beloved more. So here, chaviv adam, we are beloved, and therefore, since we're beloved, we have this high stature. So that's why Hashem gave us the whole concept of creating these vows. Shiasa Adam Siag V'Geder Shaloyis Kal Kelma Ala Soshin Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim. We should not destroy this elevated stature that we have, that we were created in the image of God, and that is the connection between the two Mishnayos. Now, another message we're going to come out, not just in terms of the connection to the previous Mishnah, but to a connection to the first Mishnah in the parak. So let's do some review of methodology that we're aware of already. So far, everybody should be able, if you've been here before, okay? So if you've been here before, everybody should be able to answer this question. Laser, get ready. You got to save him. Okay? So if we're going to look for running themes in a chapter, who are we going to look to? Yossi, don't say it. I know you know it. You said it last time. If we're going to look to running themes in a chapter, Abarbanel. There we go. Okay. So Abarbanel is going to be our commentator. And if you wanted to cheat, you could have just looked at source number 3, see Abarbanel. But the Abarbanel is going to be our commentator who's going to tell us about running themes throughout a chapter. So we're in now the 14th Mishnah in chapter 3. Abarbanel is going to bring us all the way back to the first Mishnah in chapter 3. And who remembers now? It's a little bit harder. This is second level. What did Abarbanel say the main theme of chapter 3 is? I know you know it too because you said it last time. What's the main theme of chapter 3? All right, Barry, go for it.
It's avoiding sin.
Avoiding sin. Okay? Avoiding sin. And now let's go even a step further. Who was our first person to talk in chapter 3? Akavya ben Mahalalel. Okay, Lazy, you're cheating. Okay? It's okay. We allow cheating. You got to sneak it under the desk so we can't see it. I know. Okay. Okay, so Akavya. Now, if you want to play around a little bit, Akavya, Akiva. Akavya, Akiva. Same letters in their name. Now, that's not so exciting, but it's pretty interesting. And the Abarbanel actually makes that cute connection. And so what he's going to do is he's going to pin Rebbe Akiva against Akavya. Now, one more level. Who remembers? What did Akavya tell us? Look at three things and you will not come to sin. What are those three things? Dami Ayin Bata. Where you're going? Lana Taholech. No, you're mixing it up with Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Ulefni miata tibli ten din v'cheshbon. And before whom? It's okay. When we did Akavya, we pinned Akavya against Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. It was the first mission, chapter 1, who said, look at three things as well. His three things were dam alam alam umcha, ayin ra ozen shemas ve kol masecha b'sefer nechtavim. But Akavya says the three things are know where you came from, and where was that? Mitipa srucha, from a putrid drop. Where are you going? To a place where you're going to be worms and dust. And then who are you going to give din for before God, who is going to judge you? So pretty scary stuff. Akavya is bringing us to fear. You want to fear sin? Contemplating all these terrible things that are going to happen to you, because that's what happens when you sin. Here comes Rabbi Akiva and tells us a totally different method. So let's look at source number 3. The Abarbanel. V'hamamar hasheni hu, chaviv adam shenivar b'tzalem. V'ani echshov she'aloki Rabbi Akiva asa dvarav. Probably Elohi. He's giving Rabbi Akiva, I don't think he means it as godly status, but as prince status, if you will. So Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, asa dvarav v'chakiras chachmaso al divrei Akavya ben Mahalalel. So this is, Rabbi Akiva is responding to Akavya's statement. Ki ilu mipnei shituf Hashem asher bahem Akavya v'Akiva. So he does. He says that, look at the names. The names are very similar. So his achdu shnehem bidrush echad v'chakira achat. They are both coming to teach us one point. V'inyan zeh shakavya ben mahalalel nasan derech shelo yavo adam lidei avera. How are we not supposed to come to sin according to Akavya? B'shiyistakel b'pechisus chomro v'genus hatchalaso shemimenu nivra. You want to avoid sin? Think about your humble beginnings. Right? The fact that we're nothing. We're physical, we're dust, we're going to be worm food. Think about all this nothingness that we are. V'gam kein behefseido v'chliyaso, we're going to die, we're going to get destroyed. Shuholech l'makom afar v'rima v'toleah, we're going to go to a place of worms and etc. Right? Rabbi Akiva, heishiv alav, Rabbi Akiva responds, Shaderech hayoser amiti lehistalek adam min avera. You want to get somebody to avoid sin? V'chol minei achatayim Hu b'shmiras ha'siyagim. It's not through contemplating death and destruction and all that stuff. Rather, it's through fences. Uva asos ha'adam mishmeres l'mishmeres, to make protections for your protections. V'she ha'histaklus, what are we supposed to contemplate though? Hatzarich la'asos zeh, eno bignus chomer ha'adam u'pechisos hatchaloso v'sofo k'divrei akavya. Don't contemplate the negatives. Avalhu b'shiyistakel b'shlosha inyanim acherim, look at three other things. Shemihem yakir yoker ma'aloso v'romamus madregaso v'mitzius kefitzuraso. To think about how great and awesome and amazing we are as to how we were created in this tzura, in this tzelem of God. V'lachein k'neged ma'asha amar akavya shiyistakel mi'ayin ba. Instead of looking at this physicality of where we come from, this lowliness, don't look at our physicality. We're made of dust. That's not what we're supposed to be contemplating. That's going to make you feel bad about yourself. Look at your soul. And the fact that we're created in the image of God. That is what's supposed to inspire us to do actions that are going to bring to us completion and perfection. And that's what he's coming to teach us. So Akiva is coming to come and combat Akavya. Don't think about how lowly we are and think about our guf and our physicality. If you want to avoid sin, think about how great we are and think about the fact that we have this image of God instilled within us. Very, very powerful message. And just to tie it into, for those who were here yesterday for something that Dr. Yael Ziegler said, when she contrasted for the shiur before Mincha, Eliyahu and Izebel, is that she made this same point, that Izebel's end was this earthly destruction, getting trampled into the ground, blood splattering everywhere. Well, Eliyahu flies off into Shemayim in this chariot of fire. So you have these different images as to, you know, what happens to people after death also. Do we focus on the trampling, the death, or do we focus on the fact that, you know, the neshama goes up and there's something inspiring about that as well? Again, it's not the same exact point, but I just wanted to tie it in because I think it's a similar idea. If you look in source number 4, the Merkabas HaMishnah says a similar idea. They're actually contemporaries, the Abarbanel and Rabbi Al-Shakar. We're not going to go into it because I think that it's somewhat repetitive. And the Abarbanel, I even didn't give you the whole thing. He elaborates, and I'll just tell you, if you want to look at it in the Merkabas HaMishnah, what he does is he goes step by step to show you how each one of the three corresponds to the other three. So when Akavya said this, Akiva come and said this. And, you know, one, two, three, each of them said three things. They're all parallel to each other, but we're gonna skip that for now. So these so far, similar message from part one and part two, coming about it from a different way, right? The message is, what's the message of Chaviv? What's my takeaway? My takeaway is, don't sin because we're so great. We can learn that from a contrast to either the previous Mishnah, the fact that Rabbi Akiva told us about Precious and Siyagim, or you can learn it from a contrast to the first Mishnah, contrasting Akiva and Akavya. If you look in part 3, we're going to see two broader takeaways that aren't related to previous Mishnayos, and they're slightly different. If you look at Rashi in source number 5, Rashi just says very simply, why does it say Chaviv Adam Shenivar B'Tzelem? What's my takeaway? What does this obligate me to do? It's not specific. Rashi's not tying it to other Mishnayos. He just says Lachin Mutol Alav La'asos Ritzon Kono. Just teaches us, you got to do what God tells us to do. The fact that you're created B'Tzelem means follow what you have to do. It's not getting fancy. He's not tying it into Siyagim. He's not even saying that it means sin. It just means follow the mitzvahs. So the concept of being created B'Tzelem Hakim obligates us to do mitzvahs. So you could elaborate on that philosophically. Why is that? That Tzelem Hakim automatically means that I have to follow the mitzvahs. You could think of an answer. You know, it's not so far-fetched. If you look in source number 6, Rabbeinu Yonah, similar methodology here to Rashi in the sense that he's not connecting it to previous Mishnayos, but he elaborates a little bit as to what this teaches us, and it's a more general message than just the fact that we should avoid sin. So look at source number 6, Rabbeinu Yonah. Chiba Yisera Nodas Lahem, Shenitim Lahem Kli Chemda, Shebo Nivra Olam. So he's jumping off of the fact that we have the Torah. Shenemar Kilekach Tov Nasati Lahem Torasi Al Tazovu. End of that line. V'yadat Eila Hadvarim, or V'yadias Eila Hadvarim. Knowledge of these things, Heim L'toeles Gedola L'dveikus, Achar Shenisgala Lanu, Ki Adam Chaviv L'fanav Mikol Abrios. What's the message? What's the takeaway? That this should help us connect to God. This is a broader matter. This isn't just fearing sin and avoiding sin. This is connecting to God. And it's not even just following mitzvos. Dveikus, connection, relationship with God is informed and helped by the fact that we know that we are beloved to God. Mikol Abrios, ki betzelem nivru v'Yisrael yodin ki heim chavivin mikol shar umos. And that's true for all of people. All of people are beloved, and that should help everybody and motivate people to want to have a relationship with God. Right? What's the... to give you a humanly parable. So, Dr. Pelkovitz, everybody heard of Dr. David Pelkovitz, one of my mentors and role models. So he gives a story about how he got married. So how did he get married? So he went out with his wife, and I might have told you the story before. He went out with his wife, and it didn't go so well. And they decided to go their separate ways, and they before they got married, right? So they dated, and it didn't go so well, and that was it. His brother-in-law, who he knew, his wife's brother, who he knew, called him and said, "You know, my sister really had a good time, and she really likes you. She'd be interested in going on another date." Brother-in-law called the sister and said, "You know, I spoke to David and said he likes you, be interested in going on another date." So they went out again and they got married. Right? So what's the message? Just don't listen to your brother-in-law. Listen to your brother-in-law, right? The message is that when we know that somebody likes us, all of a sudden we like them more, or we could in theory like them. It's not automatic, right? But we could in theory like them more. Why? Maybe we're less defensive. Maybe whatever. We end up people who like us, we like them more. So Chaviv and Yisrael. So that seems to be what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Is the fact that God's telling us that He loves us now helps us love Him. It creates this connection. So the message of Rabbeinu Yonah, we'll keep reading it in a second, but it's broader. It's not just not sinning. It's not just following mitzvos. It's creating a relationship with God. That's what this message of Chavivin helps us get to. So that's for all of people. And now, in the third line, we're saying that Yisrael, they know that they're chavivim mikol shar umos, we're the chosen nation, we're beloved even more. Ki nikru banim lamakom, ubachar banim mikol ha'amim v'nasam lanu es Torah. So He gave us the Torah, He chose us. Shemisibasan nivra kol ha'olam, and it is because of the Torah that the world was created. Al kol panim yodim anachnu ki karav aleinu Hashem Yisbrach. God is close to us. Yisbrach lo yachshuv ha'adam. So now we should try to do what's right in the ways of Hashem. God doesn't want us to sin, so we shouldn't want to sin because we have this relationship with God. So you could keep reading and it hammers in the point a little bit more with a few more examples, but I think it's a very fascinating and important message for us to realize is that God loves us, so we should love Him, and this relationship of this sort of explicit love on both sides, it's a broader message than just not sinning. So if you flip the page, now we're going to get to a little bit more of the philosophical element here. Yeah, Barry. Yeah.
So even you say Rob refers to the Torah, or I don't know what to say Rob.
What's the Chiba Yisera? It's a, how do they translate it? I actually like this. Super abundant love. Right? So I think the super abundant love means that, you know, you could love somebody 50%, you could love somebody 75%, you could love somebody 100%. So the fact that we have all of these things, it's one thing for me to love you, right? But it's another, when I tell you that I love you, it's an added expression of love, or maybe that compounds the love, it makes it more of an intense love, right? So the Chiba Yisera is that it's more love. It's an act of love, exponential love. It's building. Am I getting to your point? What's your?
So is it direct towards the base grow, or towards the first line that says other?
Each one, each
well,
level.
All individual levels have this extra love.
Right. Well. Again, so I don't know. We'll get to this right when we talk about. We're gonna next week. We'll compare and contrast different opinions as to how the Jewish Tzelem versus the non-Jewish, how that all plays out. So we'll elaborate on that next week. But I think from the Mishnah, you see that there's love in each three. There's three stanzas here. There's the Tzelem stanza, there's the Bunim stanza, and then there's the Torah stanza. In each stanza, you have your general love, which is that it exists, and then each one has its added love that we know about it. So whether or not each level is less or more of love in terms of each stanza, again, we could talk about that a little bit more next week, but within each stanza, the fact that I know it shows me that it's added love. And just if to hammer the point home for an easy takeaway, in terms of our relationships with other people, right? If you love somebody, tell them that you love them, right? That's the message. It's one thing to love them, but it's a chiba yisera. It's added to the relationship as well as the love is built through the expression of that love to say it explicitly. So it's implicit. It's in the it's explicit in the Mishnah in terms of our relationship with God to us. But I would just say it probably makes sense to parallel that in our relationship with other people as well. Okay, so now, what we're about to start to get to, we're not going to finish this week, we'll continue it next week, is to frame it as to what we're going to be doing, is that we're going to try to answer, what is this Tzelem? What does it mean that we're created with Tzelem Elokim? This is a broader question in terms of, it's a Parshanut question in Tanakh. When God says that we're created, when it says B'Tzelem Elokim, what does it mean in Tanakh? Then we're talking about it in the context of Pirkei Avos here. It's a philosophical question. The Rambam's going to talk about it in Mor Nevuchim. So we're going to have a lot of different explanations as to what exactly does it mean that we're created in the image of God. That is going to then inform the next part of this, which we're going to do more next week, is once we understand what Tzelem Elokim is, how does our understanding of Tzelem Elokim impact how we're going to understand the relationship of this Mishnah between Jew and non-Jew is? So depending on what our definition of Tzelem Elokim is, we may or may not be more comfortable to say that there's a distinction here between the Jewish Tzelem, the non-Jewish Tzelem. Do non-Jews have Tzelem? So we're going to see a sort of a raging debate that's going to happen next week. And it's a controversial debate. And it gets to the core of how we relate to Jewish people, non-Jewish people, both in terms of our mindsets as well as perhaps in terms of behavior. But we're going to save that for next week. Just as we read this week's Tzelem part, remember that how we define Tzelem may or may not impact how we're going to understand the difference between Adam and Yisrael for next week. So let's jump in, source number 7. So when we first hear the word Tzelem, you hear the word image. What pops into your head? A picture, an actual image. So what's the problem with saying that? And so God doesn't have an image. He doesn't have a good, doesn't have a body, doesn't have an image. So what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Right? So there's some that might take this and say, okay, so when I think about God, I'm thinking about this guy with a big white beard sitting somewhere, that's God. And we're created in the image of God, so we must look like God.
Or a lady with a nice
shaved head. Or a lady with a nice shaved head. How do you know she's wearing a shaved head? He's single. He's echad. He's single. There's no... Okay, either way. So obviously this is going to cause a problem. In terms of philosophically, how do we understand what Tzelem means? We're going to see sources in this, but yeah.
Tzelem like shadow?
So does Tzelem, could it be related to shadow? We might see somebody who says something like that, but I don't know if that's the... it's related. It's a reflection, if you will. It's a, right. So let's see. Quick.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, when I said Tzelem first, I thought of characteristics.
Okay, so let's so good. So let's see. So source number seven. So the Machzor Vitri says as follows. Chiba Yaseira no daslo. Chibavu shenivra b'tzelem bifnei atzmo. So the way he understands this is that it is the fact that we are created in an image, not necessarily the image of God. So he's not saying that we look like God, but he is focusing on our image, on our physical features. And what's special about our physical features is that our physical features don't look like anything else's physical features. Right? So humans are distinguishable from animals and other things. So let's read this inside again. Chivu shenivra b'tzelem bifnei atzmo. Shenemar v'yivra Elokim es ha'adam b'tzelmo. Borer lo tzelem bifnei atzmo. He gets his own unique face print, if you will. V'lo b'tzelem behemos v'chayos v'ofos. Right? Imagine we had chicken faces. V'chol ha'omer b'tzelmo shel yotzro chayshinon sheman minhu. Then he says, for those who say that it means that we look like God, that person is possibly a heretic. Kolomar chiba yisera chibu shenivra b'tzelmo Elokim atzmo. Right? We don't say, he says, we don't say that we look like God, but rather, what does it mean, tzelem Elokim? Not characteristics, but it is talking about our face. Our face is unique amongst all creatures, and that's what's special here. Now, it's sort of anticlimactic. Like, this, do we really care that much that our face looks different? Meaning, if we were born and our face happened to be chicken face, if we were, you know, this, you know, lion heads and, you know, human bodies, would we be so bothered by that? Meaning, why do we care so much that we look like humans? But that's what he seems to be saying, is that look how special we are. We have a face, nothing to do with God, but we just have a unique face that has nothing to do with animals. Okay, I hear it. It's just not so exciting. It's not so important. Keep going. Shenemar, the Machzor Vitri continues. Shenemar ki b'tzelem Elokim. B'tzelem Elokim atzmo aso hamakom. In the image of God itself, God made us. V'aye delo garsiha. So if it is delo garsiha, there are those who don't say it like this. Dekeven de'ein l'tzur dimin v'lotzmuna, because of our same problem. Right? Once you start formulating it, is that we're the tzelem Elokim of God, you can't say that because we don't have, God doesn't have an image, he doesn't have a picture. Misha omer kizecha, shinesh shem aminu, same idea. We're afraid he's a heretic. V'av ki b'tzelem is mitargum, and there are those that say, the Unkelus in Bereshit says, Arei b'tzalma Hashem Ovid, that it's, Unkelus seems to indicate this, v'lo b'tzalma de Hashem, uva avri hekev gadol b'tzidon shal b'tzelem, l'pisuk atam l'havin pitrono. So he goes through some parshanut to say it can't be that that's what it means. You have to reinterpret it and read the pasuk slightly differently. But again, the same main message here is that tzelem can't mean the image literally of God. Rather, the way he understands it is that it means that our faces are important. So now, what's before we get to questions. So if this is the case, we'll see other people disagree with this, but if this is the case, that the main message is that we have such beautiful panim, right? We have such nice faces. What's the message of the Mishnah? Who cares? What's it coming to teach us? So now, look at the next source. This is Rabbeinu Yosef ben Yehuda ibn Enkin. So he's a Rishon. Relatively obscure from the standard commentators, but still, I think, very important point here. So Hodia Bikan, this is right under where we just left off. It's a sort of a box in the middle. It's like there's two columns on top, then a box in the middle, then two columns right below that. So this is the box in the middle. So Hodia Bikan, ki hodas hamakom b'nei adam b'shipua hatova v'chesed shishpia lahem tova cheresi. The greatness that God did for us here, l'fi sheyesh misha osa chesed v'tovim chavero ve'eino modio. So there are those that say, do something nice for their friends and don't tell them about it. Mipnei kaloso ve'eino b'shiflus ma'alaso v'akadosh baruch hu hodia l'fnei adam godel hatovo sheosa imahem. Right, so God gets to the same point. God tells us that he loves us, and that's great and awesome. We want to know about that. But Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Ruvain, Hayde ka'amar chaviv adam shenivra, dabar ze ba'la hodia, shelo yizalzel adam bepirtzuf panim shel adam. It's coming to teach us, and I think this only makes sense if you understand, like source number seven, that it means our faces, literally. The message is, don't make fun, don't embarrass, don't degrade somebody's face, somebody's image. You see somebody who you think looks weird. You see somebody who you slap somebody in the face. You say something degrading about somebody's face. That's a problem. That's Tselem Elokim. That face is Tselem Elokim. Velo yaruk bo, don't spit on anybody. Velo yanik bo kalos rosh, don't make fun of somebody's face. Don't make fun of your own face. Ubevadai nachon kamar ki odas shipui atova me'ametiv lehetiv lehem mitova sachel hu noda. Velo shana za inyan pamayim. So basically, the point here, I think it's a limited point. It's not this great theological, philosophical point that changes our lives entirely, but it's a really important point. Treat your face nicely, right? Your face, if the message here is that you have this face that's not an animal face, treat your face nicely. Okay? Yeah. So the answer here is no. Is that yes, concentrate on the inner, but not at the expense of the outer. The outer is important too. The way you look, the way your physical health, your looks are important. Again, I'm not saying he's saying put on makeup and make sure you look pretty. That's not what he's saying. You could do that. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying that his point here is that we should treat our faces and other people's faces with respect. With respect. Because the fact that we look like this, apparently, is very important. The fact that we don't have a chicken head or a lion head or somebody else's head is important. It's worthy of reflection and it's worthy of our honor. Yeah.
And our eyes are part of the head, and really you can see the soul of people's eyes.
Maybe. I hear you. Yeah.
You might say the really on other people's faces. I think that's the point that he's making, that we don't see our face as much as we see other people's faces. So when seeing somebody else's face, you have to be reminded that no matter what they look like, whether it's deformity or race or whatever, that is Tselem Elokim.
Right, so definitely emphasizing other people's, and I'm I think he would say something similar about our own faces too. I mean, don't degrade our own faces, but his emphasis might be on other people's faces. I once gave a drasha, just popping into my head right now. I once gave a drasha a few years ago where I quoted somebody, I don't remember who it was, quoted somebody who said, I'll look it up later, but somebody who said that you should, when you look at somebody else's face, you should be looking for the Tselem Elokim, and in that you learn to respect them more than that. So it's not necessarily the same exact point, but it's a similar point. One more question, then we're going to go, or comment, two more, and then we're going to go on. Louder, louder.
The idea of faith can also be the integrity, saved face. So it's not just the physical features, it's being good to everybody.
I wouldn't disagree with that in theory, but I don't think that's what he's saying. Meaning he's saying it, I think these commentators are focusing on the physical aspect of it. What you're saying might be true, and maybe another commentator would say something like that, but I want to emphasize that these commentators are focusing on the physical face, and I think that's fascinating. That's fascinating that they're focusing on the physical face. Others will focus on characteristics. Well, we'll get to that soon. Yeah, Jack? Yeah? I'm sure there is. The question was there a connection in Kabbalah? So how Kabbalists deal with this, we'll get to a little bit next week when we get to Tselem Elokim, because they're going to have a distinction between Jew and non-Jew when it comes to Tselem Elokim, and that might be related to this. How seeing people's faces and be able to read people's faces, similar to what my mother said before in terms of seeing the soul in the eyes. So I don't fully understand how that works because I'm not a mystic or a Kabbalist or anything like that, but it perhaps has something to do with it. Yeah.
Oh, so the only thing is, what, I don't know if
so there are statements in Chazal that have that deal with that point, that everybody looks different. I will just point out that I think that's a good point, but nobody said that yet. And I'm not sure anybody's going to say that in this context. The fact that we're all unique and we all have our own stamp and imprint and our faces all look different is very fascinating, but it's not what he was saying here. Okay, now, let's move on. Go to now the next, right underneath where we left off, There's two columns. So the right-hand side says Kasav HaRamah, and the left says Tselem. So both of these are saying something similar, so we're only going to pick one. Let's do the left one. So this is Rabbeinu Yosef Nachmias. So he says as follows, left-hand column, Tselem ze eino demos haguf. So as we've seen for some, he's saying it's not the face. It can't mean the face. It's not demos haguf. Ela tselem ha-seichel v'havana. This gets back to the characteristics. What is tselem Elokim? Intellect, intelligence, thinking. That is when it says that God created us, but tselem Elokim, it's the fact that we can think. B'yachol, and this is similar to what the Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim. B'yachol, shahaya nivra b'tzelem, v'lo hayu machshivin oso lo dio shenivra b'tzelem. And getting to the context of the Mishnah, you could think, but it's even greater that God tells us we can think. Okay, is that really that special? I know I can think, but God tells me I can think. Now, whoa. So that's a little bit weird. But third line. You can't, right. So maybe to the extent that we think that we can't think, and we don't take our consciousness and our mindfulness to our fullest extent, God's telling us, you could do better, you could think better, you could control your thoughts. Okay, maybe. So now, third line, uvitzelem zen nivdalo adam mi behema chayev ofen, it's through this ability to think that we're distinguished from animals. Kamro milfonim behemos aretz meofa shemayim yechkamenu pasuk in Iov nimseis omer segulas haolam adam v'segulas haadam Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom uvamehi segulas Yisrael v'meshanasan lam kli chem. To the fact we have the Torah via Torah shabat nivra olam, as it's quoted in a few psukim. Go to the third to last line, ulizaras Yisrael segulas avim shemayim. Mimina Adam Vikaram Banim, Rasalam Klichemda, Labdam Abu Miyura. So he says that the point here, again, similar to what we've seen from others, is to motivate us to serve God with love and fear. But if for our purposes in this context, is that what's a Tselem Elokim? It's intellect, it's thinking, it's our ability to use our brains, something that the animals can't do. If you look in source number 8, we're going to add one more thing. Tiferes Yisrael says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Hainu Koach Sichli. So similarly, he says it's our ability to think, and then he says Koach Sichli Chavshi Bal Bechira. So he emphasizes it's not just the fact that we can think, but what is it? The fact that we have free choice, we have free will. Okay, so that's a slightly different answer. So far we have it's that we have a unique face, we have that we're able to think, and we have the fact that we're able to have free choice. Each one of those is a different explanation as to what Tselem Elokim is.
What
if you look,
free speech,
right? So nobody, at least that I quoted to you, said not free speech, speech, right? The ability to speak is another unique human capability, but notice that that's not what Tselem Elokim is, right? Why? I'm not sure, but no, sorry? Depends what you mean by seichel. Right, so most Jewish philosophers would tell you they don't have seichel, although they do have some level of, the Rambam talks about this a little bit in Shmona Prakim, they have some ability to do things, but that's not what we would call seichel. And the same thing with speech now, you know, say humans are unique, they have speech. Well, other animals can communicate somehow too. Animals, there's a whole field of psychology, it's animal intelligence, that animals do have some level of ability to learn. Okay, but we're not going to get into that nitty-gritty details right now. We're just focusing on the fact that you have these different paradigms of what does it mean, Tselem Elokim. There's a book by a psychologist by the name of Daniel Gilbert. And he talks about, the book is called Stumbling on Happiness. And he talks about what is it that's a unique feature of human beings. And one of the things that he says in the beginning of the book, he says, you know, every scientist, in order to sort of entrench himself, and he has to start with some saying that humans are different than animals because of, and then they say, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then, you know, 50 years later, somebody comes along and says, no, that's not really unique. Humans are different because of this. And then humans are different because of this, right? So he argues that humans are different for their ability to think about and plan for the future. That's his, and that has to do with thinking. So now squirrels plan for the future, you know, but that's not really thinking when they dig their acorns. Whatever. We're not getting to that point right now because I'm not even sure that Selam Elokim needs to be some uniquely distinguishable feature that animals have nothing about that with them, right? Because go to the face paradigm. Animals have faces too, right? Our faces are just different. Right, so animals. You want to say animals can think? Okay, but we think qualitatively different than animals. Right, even with speech, it's different. So I'm not getting into that. Maybe a different time we'll do a full shiur on that. Let's do one more point here. Source number 9. This is the Maharal. Maharal is going to say something totally different. Totally different. Very strange. It might take us a little bit of this time and next week to fully get our hands around this. Or brains around this, and then from this we're going to jump off to how we understand the difference between Jew and non-Jew in terms of Tzelem. So look at source number 9, Derech Chaim of the Maharal. Okay, the Ode. Somebody give me a time check.
7:10.
Okay. So we'll do a little bit of this and then we'll stop. So he says, the Ode Ikra Perish Shel B'Tzelem Elokim Nivra Adam Lo Yadanu Mahu Atzelem Azet. So the Maharal says, I don't know what this Selim is. What is this Selim? Shim Perishat Selim Torah Guf. If you mean that it means the bodily characteristics, Davarze Elo Mar Klal, Shem Yuchas Al Hashem Yisparach Torah Beturas Aguf. You can't say that God has an image. Vim Perusho Shenivra Adam Betzelim Elokim, Hainu Asechel Shaba Adam. If you want to say, like we just saw, that it means thinking, Kamosha Perisha Rambam, like the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, Hatzelim Sheniska Berkasov. He says, Dabrazet ein muchachka. So he doesn't say it's impossible. Right? In terms of the image, that's impossible because God doesn't have an image. In terms of saying that it means intellect, the ability to think, he doesn't say it's impossible. He says it's just not provable. Why? Kimashin emar kan chaviva adam. From the fact that here it says, beloved is man, al korchach perusho shu chaviv af min hamalachim. Now we're introducing a whole other concept. Until now, we've been contrasting man to animals. But the Maharal says, inherent here is also a contrast between man and angels. So if there's a contrast between man and angels, Kimasha Adam Chaviv, continuing fourth line, Minha Behema, B'chidavrez et Tzarech Lomar, so obviously animals, but also angels, V'korchach Perusho Shah Adam Chaviv, Af Minha Malachim, Kemoshi is Bar. Man is greater even than angels. And angels have intellect. Angels can think. So if angels can think, just go with the assumptions for now. Angels can think, so it must be that if we're distinguishable from angels, that's the message here, that yes, we can think, but that's not what Selam Elokim is. It doesn't make us, it's a unique feature among human beings. So what? So now we have a new challenge. We have to find the unique feature that A is not kfira, image of God, right? B is unique from animals, and C is unique from angels. So va'afilu im tomar ki lo ba lo marak yesh lo adam ha'mayla yaseir shu b'tachtonim. So maybe you'll say, okay, maybe I'm reading into this too much. Maybe the Mishnah is only telling us that man is greater than animals, and that's the point. And we're not dealing with angels. Yes, angels can think, but that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is dealing with this world. In this world, people are distinguishable from animals through thinking. Because maybe you want to tell me that. I still have a problem with saying that it means intellect. Mikol makom hayaze nichlal b'mesha amar chaviv adam shenasa lehem haTorah shaTorah bevaday chachma v'das lechach mukrach lomar ki davar ze inyan b'fnei atzma. So it's a little bit of a stretch. But what he says is that I already told you in the Mishnah that men or Jews are special because they have the Torah. What's special about the Torah? It's the fact that it's thinking, it's intellect, it's the brain. So therefore, it must be that when I'm telling you Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, it means something fundamentally different than anything intellectual. Torah intellectual, that's already covered in the Mishnah. This must mean something else. And so big picture for the Maharal is we need to discover something new that's distinguishable from animals besides Seichel, as well as perhaps distinguishable from angels. So what is this thing?
Angels don't have free will.
Okay, free will could be an answer. That's not where he's going to go, at least for now. V'yesh lefarish. Again, this is going to take us a while. We might not fully grasp this week. V'yesh lefarish. Masha amar hakasuv. Vayivra lokim es adam b'tzamo. Ein perusho sh'yesh el Hashem yisbarach tselem v'dimus. Shein adavar kach klal. As we said, it can't mean that God has an image. Aval. Hakatuv ba'lomar. Ki kasher baler mos bitmuna hagashmit, masha nimsa ba kadosh baruch hu be'iyon nivdal min hagashmi. So he's making a very strategic move. God doesn't have an image. But if you would think of God as having an image, what would that image be? Ki bevada yachol ha'adam litzayer be'inyon hagashmi davar nivdal ha'bilti gashmi. We can use our imagination to think of something that shouldn't be physical. And so he's basically, use your imagination. What would God be if you had to think of God, even though God doesn't have an image? So, dimyon zeh, kasher balit sayer Hashem yisbarach, shu melach al akol, ve'ein alav b'mitzios. So what is this image that we should create of God, that he's the king of all, and ve'ein alav b'mitzios, there's nothing on top of him. Hine yitzayer timuna b'zekifa. What's Zakifa?
Upright.
God's image, intellectually, when we imagine it, should be upright. Because he is on top of everything and there's nothing on top of him. Again, this is a strange concept that you've never heard of before. So it might take some time. But Zakifa. Now, think about it. Humans over animals. We're on two legs, right? So Zakifa. He's going to... Bivadai she'ein lase shum tmuna chas v'chil Hashem Yisbarach. And he's going to, as we've already mentioned in the past, Maral likes to repeat himself. But here he's going to repeat himself because it's almost like he's anxious. Why? Because he has to make sure that even though he's telling you what your image of God would look like, that God doesn't have an image. So he's going to keep hammering that in. Don't think that God, ah, bivadai she'ein lase shum tmuna chas v'chil Hashem Yisbarach. Don't give God an image. But in theory, if you would give God an image, right, it would be this standing upright. Haynu shadavar zeh asur bivad de la'adam mitzad ha'seichal shuba adam shemasig adavar kifi mashu kimoshi yisbar. You can't think of an image of God. Aval mikol makom mashu nimsa ba'kadosh baruch hu hi mitzir ba'adam ha'gashmi shebriyaso shel adam b'zekifa. This image that we can't but do think of God as upright, that is humans. Humans are upright. Zekifa. V'lo kimo shar balei chayim holchei shachuach. So they're not like other animals who are bent over. Ki misha holech shachuach humora al sheyesh alav adon. What does it mean to be bent over? What are you saying? I have somebody over me. I'm bent, right? And that's why, even, you know, God's above us. So when we bow down to God, it's subjugation, right? So God is upright because he's not bowing down to anybody. We're upright because, again, put God aside for a second, we're not bowing down to anybody. Animals are subjugated to humans, if you will. It's a pasuk that says that, so don't call PETA and stuff after me. So, right, so animals are subjugated to humans. Sheyesh lav adon l'ficha holech shachuch kmo eved shaholech shachuch l'tnei adon shelo. Aval Hashem yisbarach ein alav. There's nobody on top of God. L'chach adam shub zekifa nemar alav shub etzel melokim. So man who is upright, that's tzelem elokim. The fact that we are upright. Kilamar, kasher echad bali tain selim b'tmuna gashmis, mashen nimsa bo yisparach b'lti gashmi, yadam hu b'tzelem elokim, ki adam hu ba'olam ha'tachton, umidaber ha'kasuv min ha'olam ha'tachton, umitzad olam ha'tachton, hadam b'tzelem elokim. In this world, we are created b'tzelem elokim, because we can stand upright. Ki az yitor Hashem yisparach, royal olam gashmi, and if we would again imagine what God would look like in our physical world, it would be something of an upright stature or feature. Kibavadai kasher yitur Hashem yisbarach olam hazeh mitzad seichel adam, asher seichel adam hu nivdal, ra'ui shiyu mitur Hashem yisbarach kefi asher roi mitzad haseichel shu nivdal, mitzad hazeh asra ha'torah kol tzelem v'kol demus. And he's going to keep going and going and going and going. But for now, and maybe we'll elaborate on this next week. to repeat the Maharal. I think there's another source that I could bring that'll hammer home the point. But the Maharal understands Selam Elokim as being straight, because God is straight, nobody's subjected above Him. Humans, in terms of the Olam HaTachton and our this worldly features, are straight because we are dominant, if you will. Right? If you would put into words, I'm not sure he would agree with this. Maybe you could think of a better word. But it's almost like it's dominance, right? That's what Selam Elokim means. It means to be upright. It means to be dominant. And that's what's a unique feature of man in this world. So putting this all together, just to recap and give a little breadcrumbs for next week, is that Selam Elokim can mean a bunch of different things. It can mean face, it can mean intellect, it can mean free will, and according to Maharal, this strange interpretation is it can mean being upright, being able to be dominant. And now the question is going to be, is that how is that going to inform us as to this difference between Selam Elokim? Adam seems to be talking about simple pshat, non-Jews as well. How is this all going to inform our understanding of that? And then how is that going to then, how are we going to contrast what's the message of being B'Tselem versus Banim versus Torah? And then we could all bring that all together to help have a deeper understanding of this Mishnah, as well as the whole concept of B'Tselem, as well as our image of ourself and the image of other people living in this world. So we're going to stop here. I'll take a question or two and then we'll bench. Yeah. So the medrash that you're quoting here is not a medrash. It's quoted in Tiferes Yisrael. So the Tiferes Yisrael is a commentator. We've quoted them before. So modern, pre-modern commentator, modern commentator, 18th, 19th century, where he quotes this idea that when Moshe, like Barry said, when Moshe led the Jewish people, this other nation saw his features, and this is based on getting to Jack, what you talked about before, being able to see a person's characteristics in their facial features. In it's called physiognomy. So when you look at somebody, you can tell what their character is. In terms of science, it's not accepted, but it was pretty popular for a while. Actually, Charles Darwin, so apparently had some bad facial features. I don't know if it was a big nose or something. I don't know. But because physiognomy was very popular back in that time period, and he went on to the boat that he was supposed to go on. I don't remember the exact details of the story. I read it in one of my psychology books. He went on the boat that he was supposed to go on, the ship. The captain didn't let him on the boat because he thought that he had bad character based on his facial features. Right? So this whole concept of looking at somebody's face and judging their character was very popular during that time period, and it predates as well. So Dr. Schneer Lyman has an article in Tradition from a bunch of years ago. I can get you a copy of it, where he basically tracks this concept. It has no earlier sources pre the Tiferes Yisrael. It has parallel storylines in non-Jewish texts as well. So some non-Jewish leader, and they were shocked, how can you be so great if you have all of these negative facial features? The message is, listen, Moshe overcame his nature, if you will, in order to learn how to control his character. But the actual context has no true midrashic sources in them. It's a fascinating idea, but unfortunately, doesn't hold up. Yeah.
I'm wondering,
No, so Tel Melkim is in the Torah. In Bereishis and in Parshas Noah, it quotes that we're created by Tel Melkim. And that's what the Mishnah quoted, that idea that we are, it's saying we're told, not only are we created by Tel Melkim, as it says in Parshas Bereishis, but in Parshas Noah, we're told we're created by Tel Melkim. Anybody remember in what context we're told we're created by Tel Melkim? In Noah? Why are we told Tel Melkim?
Noah?
Yeah. Don't kill anybody, right? Because everybody's created Tzal Melkim. Okay, so Tzal Melkim is a biblical concept, and these understanding what it means here is also basically saying what does it mean? What does it mean there? Yeah.
Questions of the difference between a Jew and non-Jew.
That's next week. Next week. That's next week. Yeah.
Shem created the man. Right. It means everybody.
Right. So we'll get to that next week. We'll get to that next week. Okay, so to be continued. Benching. Cohen. Non-Cohen. Levi. Yisrael.